namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. Evam vijagriyanu matanu vritha. Dharma pradhano yathamo vitasya rashvena kalena griyohopayatan drashpasi siddhan anurakta loka. Evam dvijagriyanu matanu vritha. Dharma pradhano yathamo vivatsa. Rashvena kalena grihopayatan. Drashtasi siddhan anurakta loka. Evam vijagranu matanu vritta. Dharma pradhano yathamo vitasya. Rashvena kalena grihopayatan. Drashtasi siddhan anurakta loka.
Oh,
Evam. Thus. Dvija. Of the Brahmanas. Agryan. Agra. By the foremost. Anumata. Approved. Anuvritta. Received by the Siddhic succession. Karma. Religious principles. Pradhana. He whose chief interest is. Anyatama. Unattached. Avita. The protector. Asya. Of the earth. Rashvena. Short. Kalena. In time. Griha. To your home. Upayatan. Having come personally. Drashtasi. You will see. Siddhan. Perfected personalities. Anurakta Loka. Being loved by the citizens. Translation. Lord Vishnu continued, "My dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciplic succession, by hearing from master the disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them, without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you. And very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara." Purport. Lord Vishnu advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Then, in whatever capacity one remains within this material world, his salvation is guaranteed after death. In this age, however, since the system of Varnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, it is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. The only method for becoming perfect in life is to develop Krishna consciousness. As Varnashram Dharma is executed from various positions by different men, so the Krishna consciousness principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. There is a specific purpose in mentioning herein that one should follow the Dvijagriyas, the most prominent Brahmanas, like Parasara and Manu. These great sages have already given us instructions on how to live according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami have given us rules and regulations for becoming pure devotees of the world. It is essential, therefore, to follow the instruction of the Acharyas or in the Parampara system, who have received the knowledge as passed down from spiritual master to disciple. In this way, although living in our material condition of life, we can get out of the entanglement of material contamination without leaving our positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, therefore, that one does not have to change his position. One simply has to hear from the perfect source, this is called parampara, and follow the principles for practical application in life. Thus, one can attain the highest perfection of life, liberation, and go back home, back to Godhead. In other words, the change required is a change in consciousness, not in the body. Unfortunately, in this fallen age, people are concerned with the body, not with the soul. They have invented so many isms pertaining to the body only, not to the soul. In the modern age of democracy, there are so many government representatives voting for legislation. Every day they bring out a new law, but because these laws are only mental concoctions manufactured by inexperienced conditioned souls, they cannot give relief to human society. Formerly, although the kings were autocrats, they strictly followed the principles laid down by great sages and saintly persons. There were no mistakes in ruling over the country, and everything went perfectly. The citizens were completely pious. The king levied taxes legitimately, and therefore the situation was very happy. At the present moment, the so-called executive heads are more or less elected from materially ambitious persons who simply look after their own personal interests. They have no knowledge of the Shastras. In other words, the executive heads are fools and rascals in the sense of the terms, and the people in general are Shudras. This combination of fools and rascals and Shudras cannot bring about peace and prosperity in this world. Therefore, we find periodic upheavals in society in the form of battles, communal riots, and fratricidal quarrels. Under these circumstances, not only are the leaders unable to lead the people towards liberation, but they cannot even give them peace of mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who lives on concocted ideas without reference to the Shastra never becomes successful and does not attain happiness or liberation after death. So, Lord Vishnu is advising Prita Maharaj here that he follow authority. And this authority means what's coming in Parampara. The Veda is there. It gives all directions, all knowledge necessary in human life. But without the Parampara, how will one interpret that and imply it in one's life? As we see here, Krishna's point is the material world, the material phenomena is for the purpose of developing one's God consciousness, right? Going back home, back to Godhead. But the method is, since everybody is here and working together, then there's a system that is followed. This is the Varnashram system. So previously, this Varnashram system, just by following it, one could perfect one's life. That's because the Varnashram system is meant to develop God consciousness, not something else. So, but unfortunately in this age, as it mentions, it doesn't say Varnashram doesn't work, or it's not applicable, it says it's topsy-turvy, because of mental concoction. So the focus should be on the Krishna consciousness, since the point of the Varnashram system is to develop the Krishna consciousness. If there's any aberrations in that system, still the essential point of becoming Krishna consciousness still applies. Right? This doesn't mean it's not applied, but it doesn't mean that just by focusing on its application will one become perfect. Right? One needs to focus on the Krishna conscious elements to make it work. And that is ultimately the last stage in the application of the Varnashram, as Krishna mentions in Gita, the Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, that one is giving up the practicing of religion because the religion itself will bring one to perfection. But one takes up the process of Krishna consciousness because that will please Krishna. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, it means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. Then one will do that according to the rules of Krishna consciousness. Does it make sense? Right? So, in other words, you want to do something nice for Krishna. Let's say you want to use a machine you want to do a certain service for Krishna. That service requires the machine. Now, will you whimsically apply the use of the machine? Or will you use the machine the way it's been directed by the manufacturer? Right? And why would one do that? Why not whimsically use the machine? We chant Hare Krishna. We couldn't care less about any rules. Why would we use the machine the way it's supposed to be? Because the results are for Krishna. And if you use the machine whimsically, it won't give you good results. So if the results are for you, do whatever the heck you want. But if the results for Krishna, then you use the machinery the way it actually is supposed to be used, and it will give a good result. And that result is for Krishna. So therefore, if you care about Krishna, you won't use this term, we don't care about the rules. Because if you don't care about the rules, then the material energy won't work properly. And if it doesn't work properly, you won't get a good result. And if you don't, and whatever that bad result you get, that's all you have to offer to Krishna. So think about it. We have to at some point be able to accommodate that consciousness, intelligence, the mind and the senses can function together cooperatively to serve Krishna. Because Varnashram is dealing with how to engage the mind, intelligence, and senses in an appropriate way that in applying God consciousness you have a form that works very nicely. That's all. Does that make sense? You know, you're using a machine, there's a booklet, it tells you how to use the machine. That booklet doesn't tell you how to be God conscious, it tells you how to use the machine properly. Right? And then Nectar Devotion tells you how to use your consciousness properly. Now, if you can't get those two to work together, what are you doing here? Right? Why be here? Of course, it's better to be here and make a fool out of yourself than to be out in the material world and making a fool out of yourself. Because listen, no intelligent person who's successful materially will ever say, we don't care for the rules. There isn't one successful person on the planet who will say that. Only fools and losers will say that. Right? We don't mean to be so strong, but after 30 years of hearing devotees use this term to simply act whimsically, which according to Gita means the mode of ignorance, you get tired of it. Especially when there's no good results. So the point is that Krishna consciousness and the rules of the material world, the laws of nature, work very well together. Because God consciousness is the natural state of the living entity, and the material creation is Krishna's. So it works according to His laws. That's all. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. Right? The problem is we're attached to our mental concoction. Krishna says here, don't be attached to your mental speculation. He doesn't say that the mind contemplating various activities and varieties is not to be done. That you have to do, right? You have an idea and you have a situation you have to apply that idea in. So that means you have to take the understanding you have of it and the situation and try to make them match. Right? So that means you have to contemplate. Now, if you get attached to that contemplation, that's where your problem comes up. That you're contemplating, that's good. That's the symptom that intelligence is there. It's working. That's nice. But if you get attached to it, that's your problem. Why? Because every moment the situation changes. And as it changes, if you're attached to that concept, it won't work. And if it doesn't work, what happens? You don't get a good result. If you don't get a good result, then that not good result is all you have to offer to Krishna. And don't sit there and put on your best little cute smile that you used to do when you're 5 years old for your parents to get away with all your nonsense and so they pat you on the head and expect that's going to work with Krishna. That's all right if you're 5 years old. But when you're 40, 50 years old, don't bother trying. It didn't work, the result is lousy, and that's all you're offering to Krishna. And don't try to create some excuses. That's just more mental speculation for your own purpose, not for Krishna. The point is, results are for Krishna. Result being for Krishna means, I want the best result for Krishna. How will you get the best result? By following the laws of nature. And where are the laws of nature defined? They're defined in the Shastra, as given to us by the Parampara. Does that make sense? So, the point is that if a mechanical machine only functions by following the directions, and the machine is pretty ordinary. I mean, modern man is really overly, how you say it? What's the term? Yeah, machinery and technology is really overrated in the modern society. It's really overrated that's the symptom of human life. No, that's just the symptom of you applied your intelligence for the last 1,000 years onto, some mechanics of the material energy, and slowly, slowly, over 1,000 years, you figured something out. Right? You can say, no, we figured it out now. Remember, who was the artist? Leonardo da Vinci. He worked out how helicopters work. That's about 500 years ago. And then by looking, it took him another, basically 400, 450 years to actually make it work. Right? So the whole technology is really overrated, that this is the symptom of human life. So, the idea is that one is seeing that the mechanics, that's simply you look long enough, you'll figure it out. And that's just a machine, dead matter. But in that same thousands of years, people have not figured out how to make the social system work. You can't tell me family life is any better today than it was before. You can't tell me it's improving. You can't tell me that the relationships between husband and wife, parents and children, students and teachers, the citizens and the state is improving. You'd really be hard-pressed to show it. In reality, right? Modern man prides himself in being real, Prabhu, not sentimental. So let's get real. It's not getting better. Why? Because it's too complex to figure out with your own foolish intelligence. It's that simple. You can figure out a machine, but that's it. You can go on observing, but if you don't know what a human being is, how will you figure out how one works? Right? The rock fell off the cliff and rolled down the side of the hill. Okay, give it a few thousand years, and someone will figure out how to turn that into a wheel. Right? Because you can see it. But if you don't know what a human being is, how will you figure out what human life is? And human life begins with God consciousness, with Varnashram Dharma. It doesn't begin before that. Not nice machinery, not nice technology. It doesn't begin. It's just a really nicely sophisticated, polished animal. Simple. Human life begins when you start studying the directions of the Acharyas coming in the parampara. That's where it begins. Before that, that's not human life. So, how was one just going to speculate and come up with how human life works? The machine's the easy part. People are difficult. Right? You can find millions of mechanics around the world who can fix a car. But I guarantee those mechanics are having problems in their family life. The machine's easy. People are difficult. So, Krishna's point is that one has to follow authority. Right? That authority is given by Krishna. Right? We have to remember, we're studying Bhagavatam here, the highest literature, meant for Paramahamsas. And Krishna's directly saying here, follow Varnashram, in this way, elevate yourself to the transcendental platform. So this isn't a matter of, oh yeah, we don't follow Varnashram, we're beyond the rules. How is one beyond the rules? A Paramahamsa is beyond the rules, remember that. If you're a Paramahamsa, excuse me. But if you're not, the rules are for you. They're not for someone else. They're not for your neighbor. Right? It's not for everybody else in the family, but not you. It's not for all other managers, but you. Or all other citizens, but you. No, they're meant for us. So, Krishna's point is that you have to change your consciousness. That's the important element. You don't have to change the position. This is the fun part. Is devotees sit in our communities around the world, and many of them, not the new ones, the ones that have been around a long time, then they'll say, oh, we're just being practical, we're just doing the real thing like this, and so we don't have to get into all this Krishna conscious rules. But Krishna right here in this verse is saying, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Stay in your position and be Krishna conscious. The two aren't something you can't do. Right? Means you can chew something and taste it at the same time. It works. You know, it's not that you can only do one or the other. So the point is the Varnashram simply directs what you do with the senses, which means the mind and the intelligence. That's all it's saying. And it's just saying ways of engaging that are compatible with the natural state of Krishna consciousness. Because the Varnashram system is simply the social system that they follow in the spiritual world. But the system itself is not what's predominant or important. What's important is the Krishna consciousness. You want to hang a picture on the wall, you need a drill, you need a nail, a hammer, a screw, or something like that. But it's not the hammer and the nail that's important. It's hanging the picture that's important. But you're not going to hang the picture without that hammer and nail. So, to only follow Varnashram and think that because I'm following the rules, therefore I'm Krishna conscious, that's a mistake. Pious maybe, but not necessarily Krishna conscious. And to say I'm Krishna conscious and I don't care for all this, how are you going to express it? Your consciousness is there. Say, well, let's say we're nicely Krishna conscious. How do you express the Krishna consciousness? Krishna says, give the result to him of your action. Consciousness is a state of being. How do you express that state of being? You'll express it through activity. How do you define that activity? So Krishna recommends Varnashram. Modern society likes mental speculation, being whimsical. Just do whatever you feel like. Does it make sense? It's a science here. This is not a pro-Vedic discussion. This is a matter of how are you going to express your consciousness unless you do it through an activity. And since we have to, only activities give results, and it's results we offer to Krishna, then where are you going to get your set of directions for your actions? So we either follow authority or we make them up. These are our only two alternatives. Right? I mean, is there a third alternative? Right? You either follow authority or you make it up. And so when we don't want to follow the Shastra, what does that leave us? We're making it up. And why doesn't it work? If it was so great, wouldn't we have figured it out since 1981 or 82? Right? Isn't that when the whole rah-rah system kind of started falling apart and it was okay to be a grihastha, you could live out in the community, and now we're just being practical? Before that, if you didn't live in a temple, you were out of it. So everyone was just doing full-time service. Then after that, you could do like this or do that, have your job, have your business, all that was okay. So, is it working? How's it going for all of you here? So this is the point. mental speculation, if it's not connected to the direction of the acharyas, does not work. It's not working in America. It's not working in England. They just had a riot for what? 1 week, 10 days? And who was it? Hardened criminals? It was kids. 13, 14, 15-year-old kids burning down buildings, running over people, shooting people, looting billions of, pounds. Right? So, you tell me, how is the nice parental system working? Not so good. Okay. So, this is the point. Mental speculation won't work. It's not a matter of, okay, therefore we have to be, hardcore, varnashram. No, but the point is we're supposed to be hardcore humans. Humans means God conscious. God conscious means you have a method to apply that in your life. So, and we do that according to Shastra. Rules aren't the point. Krishna consciousness is the point. Right? We're not into rules. We're into Krishna consciousness. But that means when we're dealing with material energy, there's rules. Right? You stick your finger in the fire, what happens? Right? You get burnt. So then the rule that your mommy tells you when you're in the kitchen is don't stick your hand in the fire. Don't play with fire. Why is there a rule? Don't play with fire. Because you might get burnt, or you'll burn something down. It's just a practical rule. It's not that the rule itself is the important thing. The point is not to get hurt or hurt other people. So the rules in Varnashram are simply there because the kid playing with the matches thinks, what's the adult's big problem? I'm just playing with matches. What's the problem? Because they don't know that you can burn down the whole house. And if you don't have a house, you're living on the street. It's not very good. But adults have somehow or another this more of an idea that having a house to live in is a good thing. And the kids just take it for granted. So unless you understand why the scriptures tell you to do the rules, then you're just like the kids. And you think that whimsically I can give it up because it doesn't matter because my mood is it's happening. Why do I have to cramp my mood, my style, because of some rules? I want to be free. I want to do whatever I want. But remember, doing whatever you want, if that's the thing, if whatever you want, that means anybody can take anything they want from anywhere at any time. You want that? You want people to just walk in your house and walk off with stuff? Or, you go to the temple and come back and there's a new family living in your house. Oh, we felt like living here. We thought it was better for our family. And we were thinking about it really hard. We think that because your family's small, you should live in our place. And then we should go, oh yeah, cool, yeah. I get where you're coming from. No, we would complain. Why? But who made that rule? Why can't they walk into your house and just take over? Why not? They felt like it. Why are you living there? You felt like it. So then what's the difference? Because God has given the point that everyone has a quota. And because of the need for security, that quota should be fixed. But at the same time, because it's in the material world, everything's temporary, so don't get too attached to it. Because it will change. But still, it's your quota that's changing. You understand? So it's come from God. So that speculative concept of why you think I'm doing this or doing that, oh, I need to make money for the family. Well, who told you to make money for the family? God. That's what Varnashram is for. Varna Dharma simply means how to make your money to take care of your family. That's all it means. Right? If you're not married, Varna Dharma doesn't have any purpose. Does a brahmachari, does it matter if he's a Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya or Shudra? No, he's a Brahmin. He's a brahmachari. He does his activities no matter what his varna is. Does that make sense? A sannyasi, does it matter? Right? You understand? It only matters if you're married. So Varna Dharma is for the married man. But we are introducing Varna Dharma through our own speculation, our own mental concoction. Instead of introducing it as Krishna says. Because the point is you don't like it that another person takes care of themselves by stepping on your toes, so why should you step on theirs? So the restrictions in Varnashram Dharma is so that you will not hurt yourself or hurt others, that's all. You may not understand it, what to do. But it doesn't mean that it's not real. Does this make sense? Like that. So his point is that the Varnashram is not the important element. It's following the direction of the Acharyas. Right? And the Acharyas mention how we should do things. Right? And the purpose of that is to please Krishna. To be God. If you're God conscious, you want to please Krishna, that means the results of your activities are engaged in Krishna's service. Activities are defined by the Acharyas. Okay. Any questions or comments? Or, yes?
In the material world, it's quite readily accepted. To actually accept the Acharya system, if you want to be kind of regular on that meditation or scientist, you have to become an expert. And they accept that. Nobody becomes a mathematician without studying and a professor. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to religion and God, then the field is all of a sudden open. You can just speculate, calculate anything you like.
Where does the foolish idea come from? Basically, the idea that on material things we accept authority, but on social and spiritual things we don't. Because social and spiritual are supposed to be connected. And unfortunately, in the Western society for the last 2,000 years, they've disconnected it. And then all the turmoil, your separation of church and state and all these different things has come because the leaders in this area are unable to give, to connect the two. They can't see that science is simply the observation of God's laws and then taking those and applying it practically into some, you know, mechanistic use. So therefore, the authority switched from religion and social things to science, and it's specifically math, because it's very observable. The numbers don't seem to move so much, right? Depending on how you apply them, then they do a lot. Like electricity, whatever it goes this way, it's actually the formula is the opposite. It's very confusing, right? Economics, all these different things. What use numbers are very, very complex. So the problem comes is that we don't want to accept the principle that I'm not in control. So a mechanical thing, then, because I want the result, I have to follow it. Because it's going to produce something. I'm going to blend something, bake something, cook something, drive somewhere, you know, do something. If I don't push the button, the iPod doesn't go on. You know, I can sit there and will it to go on, but, you know, it doesn't always work. Right? So, we want that result, we're willing to do that, but we feel we push the button, so we've made it happen. The problem is on the social issue, religious issues, we just want to feel. And whatever we feel, we think that should happen. And because we think we're God, then we have this idea of satya sankalpa. Whatever I think is truth. And so because I've thought it and I feel it, therefore it's real and it will work. No, what's real is your feelings. And that you're applying your intelligence and mind in various ways to come up with ideas how to make yourself happy, but it still is mechanistically doesn't work. Otherwise, the modern society would be pleasant. It would be good, heavenly, right? You know, everyone would be nice. They would work nice. Everyone would be wealthy. Right? You only have criminals because there's a problem in getting the wealth, right? If you could get wealth very easy and straightforward, why be a criminal, right? So the difficulty is coming is that this idea that I have to surrender to authority, surrender to the parampara, then is a problem. So directly, mechanistically, I can do that, and once I'm good at it, I don't really have to work with the authority. But the problem with religion and all these other things is it's eternal. And so I have to eternally work under someone else's direction. So if I could do it for 10, 20 years and then I could become the Buddha, or I can become, you know, God, then that's okay. People enthusiastically take that up. You find Buddhism and these other impersonal paths, those are growing. Because you only have to do it for a short time and then you're the big guy. But the Vaishnava philosophy, eternally you're going to be servants. So it's not as attractive. And so that need to express that I'm the controller, we try to do that outside of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we apply in our occupation and in our mechanistic aspects of our day-to-day life, we try to just be practical. Rather than understand it's only practical because it's in conjunct with God's laws. And if I could understand that, I can be practical and God conscious. So that's what Krishna's recommending. Because we have to remember, when Krishna's pointing this out, he's pointing this out to people who are extremely materially successful. Means today, is there a person on the planet as materially successful as Yudhishthir Maharaj? Right? Anyone controls the whole planet, has all the money, has all the power, and people like him? Right? No, Prithu Maharaj here. Anybody like him that qualified? Right? The Pachetas. They've been in the water for 10,000 years holding their breath, right? They come out of the water, trees have grown over everything, and by looking at the trees, they're all burning down. Right? And because it's getting out of hand, the moon god himself comes and presents his daughter and says, "Hey guys, you know." So these are the people that God's talking to in the Bhagavatam. Materially successful, every one of them. Is there any loser in the Bhagavatam? Can we think of one loser? No. And if they are, they're doing it on purpose. Jarabara, but he did it on purpose. You understand? So Krishna's talking to those who are successful. But he's saying that you're materially successful, so mechanics isn't the problem. But you have to see those mechanics are the purpose of God consciousness. So we appreciate the mechanical aspect as long as we can see it's for ourselves. Like if we were preaching Varnashram just for Varnashram's sake, because the pious activities actually give you the good material results. And that's why those who kind of like follow it, you know, generally and understand it, are pretty much in as a class, the wealthiest people as a class on the planet. So then we might take it more seriously. But we're being presented that's not the actual purpose of it, it's God consciousness. So then it gets in the way of our trying to control and getting our results. We can't see its usefulness. Does that make sense? So in that way, then, we tend to avoid authority when it comes to our feelings. But if it's mechanics where it's only intelligence, then authority is fine. Is that okay? Yes.
Arigo? Yes? I don't want to say this in a way that's going to be I don't know how to say this properly. But I just want to say that in some ways, we could make the case that Prabhupada was a loser until he reached about don't take this in the wrong way.
I would say something that's just like this, because you're talking about my spiritual master. I have every right to take it in the wrong way, and if you don't know how to say it, then better don't say it.
Okay, I'll try to say it differently.
Yeah, it means either say it right or don't, because otherwise I have the full right to come over there, pick you up, and throw you out that window if you insult my spiritual master.
Okay, I'm not trying to insult you.
So therefore, don't try to use some clever material way of using the intelligence, because I say there's no losers in Bhagavatam, and then say, well, Prabhupada was a loser. The point is, as he said, he had a palace, 108 palaces all over the world, where he had people fully surrendered who would give their life to him.
All
and
right.
So that's not a loser.
All right. So if you want to point to that point in his life, yes, of course.
No, but I think you're missing the point of the discussion. The point of the discussion is that we follow authority. Now, was he following authority?
He was following authority 100%.
Yes, yes, and therefore he got the results.
Every second of his life. But when did the results manifest?
That's my point, is that unless he's following authority, and it took 30, 40, 50 years to get the result. Now, what about devotees who don't follow authority? When will they get their results?
They'll never get their results.
Yes, so that's the point of the class.
But the point is, you can't look at any one person at any one particular time in his life and say, oh, he may not be following authority because his prosperity has not manifested. Or
I don't get your point.
You say that if you make the point that if you follow the Vedas very carefully, then prosperity will manifest.
Or yes, it will
success
manifest.
Success will manifest.
It will manifest.
And I'm just making the point that it didn't manifest in Prabhupada's life until very late.
But it manifests. That's my point. The Western society has been going on in the form of it is now since the 1400s.
Yeah,
when is it going to manifest?
It's never going to manifest.
Yes, so that's the point. So what's the problem?
The problem is you can't see any. You say that a person may be poverty stricken. He may look like a loser to you from an exterior point of view.
So this is an issue about saying that somebody's a loser or something, and you're taking issue
to
that.
You're looking at the outside manifestation.
The example I was giving is from Bhagavatam, so if you'd like to stick to the Bhagavatam, I wasn't talking outside of that. So if you want to find someone in here.
Yeah, but you can't tell whether a person is following the Vedas or not following the Vedas simply based on the material.
But that's not what we said. We used it in the reverse. That those who are following, those are the ones that are in general wealthy.
Yes, at some point the wealth may manifest.
But my point is as a class, we're saying that generally the Asian community has a tendency to follow more socially the rules that are given by higher authorities, and they're the ones that are more successful as a class in the world. That was the point. I was only giving example that they have families that work cohesively together, and they have plenty of facility.
Yes.
So the point is that they're able to combine the two, while the Western thought hasn't been able to combine the two since, you know, about 2,000 years ago, when they made a concerted effort to destroy all the cultures of the world because of their philosophy, of their religion, and they have never been able to put the pieces back together again. So the point that's being made here is that the philosophy and the culture go well together. It's actually what makes it work nicely. Varnashram is the culture. It's simply the culture of work, the culture of, you know, social interaction, the culture of personal development. That's what it's defining. So that and technical philosophy and being Krishna conscious go very well together. And mechanics are simply a support of the Varnashram system. Right? That you have a machine that works, you use it in your occupation. It's the occupation that's the Varnashram.
So my question is, then, it's a simple question. I'll try not so I don't insult you. I won't put it in the same way. But I'm saying is, did Prabhupada not know how to make it work?
Did Prabhupada not know how to make it work? He made it work.
Yes, he made it work at age 72.
So what? What the hell do you care if he made it at 72? Why the hell are you using this as an example?
Because the thing is...
Why can't you be a little cultured? Use something else.
Because it's the best example I can...
No, it's not the best example because you're using it in an insulting way.
Of somebody who worked and worked and worked.
Yeah, but what is the difference from what you're saying and what I'm saying here? What's the difference? I'm saying you follow it, you get the result.
You're saying that if you, at least I think you're saying, and I'm trying.
That's the point. You think you're saying because you're so focused on the external ritual or the form of it that you're missing the point that's being made. The Varnashram is a form being used in Krishna consciousness. And mechanics are elements that are used by Varnashram.
Yeah, but it sounds to me, and again, I'm trying to understand that you're preaching a prosperity theology. If you follow the Shastra, it will manifest as...
Yes, but we don't say when.
Yeah, and I'm saying we can't point to any one person at any one time and say, there's no prosperity manifesting. He must not be following the Shastra. Because you could say that about Prabhupada. There's no prosperity.
Where is there no prosperity? He always had money and facilities.
Okay, I'm saying the glories of Prabhupada manifested.
The glories of Prabhupada started from when he appeared in the family of pure devotees.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would we have a whole volume? And it's the fattest of all the volumes.
And his life until for many, many years.
But the point is who was having the problem, him or his family?
No, not him. I'm saying.
So then why use him as example if it's not him? Where was the lack of respect? His kids didn't want to help in the business. They just wanted to sit back and get all the money. Right? He asked them to help in the business. They want to expand the business. They want more facility. He had money. He was doing fine. But then as the family grows, but they don't want to do it. They want to sit there with the mother and drink tea. So they don't want to do their duties. So therefore, he can't expand the family business.
Yeah, so is that Prabhupada's failure?
No, and so did I say it was?
Yeah.
I'm talking, huh?
He wanted that business to expand.
Yeah, but the family's supposed to have, it's only there for the family. How is that connecting with what
he
was mentioned?
He wanted to use the money for preaching, and he was
How does that connect to what was spoken?
He was not able to make it.
No, clear. You're not answering my question. What you're saying? What does the point have to do with the class?
The point is that you say repeatedly in your classes that if you are following the Vedas, it will manifest.
Yeah, so it'll manifest, but when? That takes time.
Okay, so it's saying sometimes you cannot say by outward manifestations, whether it's manifest.
Let's like this. If you have a teenage kid who's not behaving properly because you haven't trained him in anything how to behave properly, and all the things that the Shastras say will happen are happening because you're not following it, you can't tell me that what I'm saying is not correct.
No, I'm not saying that what you...
That's what I was referring to. I was talking about the social interactions of the family, specifically here in Mayapur, because I'm not in Alachua, I'm not in Mawilambah, I'm not, hanging around the manor over there. We're talking about here. But when I make the point strongly, the people who've come from those places know what I'm talking about. So I'm simply saying is, those families who simply speculate, do whatever they like with their families, we see they don't get a good result. It's direct. And those who try to follow it, then with time they get the result. There may be difficulties, but it's progressive. But if it's based on mental speculation, on whimsicalness, it will never be progressive. That's the point. I'm simply making the point that there are a lot of devotees who cannot see that being practical in their endeavor to create the facilities for their family, they can't see that they could be doing that in Krishna consciousness by understanding what they're doing in connection with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's the point being made.
Okay, Maharaj. Sorry.
Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to say. But I'm trying to avoid being as direct as that. Because before I give very direct examples and people would get upset about that. So if I give indirect examples, then it creates confusion. So my point is that these people follow, it takes some time. Yayati, it took him 1,000 years to be able to realize. He understood, but to realize that you can't, there is no material satisfaction. So he had the understanding and not the realization. Therefore he asked his son for his youth. So he could spend that 1,000 years trying. It says, the Shastra says he tried everything possible that you could do, all according to Shastra. You know, at all times, all places, all circumstances, for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, then he was satisfied that you can't be satisfied. Because Shastra says, it's like pouring ghee on the fire, but we'll think, no, but I can do this and then it won't do, or I can do that. That's the mental speculation. So if it's being used directly in Krishna consciousness, it's good. But we tend to use it, well, if I tried this way, then I could make it work. So by doing that again and again and again, we see that, no, the Shastra, the principles are correct. And even they give ways to connect one's material desire through that Varnashram system to Krishna. It's still the material result you won't be satisfied with. But we can be satisfied in the endeavor in the Krishna consciousness. That we can do. That we can do. Okay? Is that okay?
Prabhupada's case, I know that he was always satisfied in his endeavor in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But it didn't manifest in the world.
No, but when it manifests was not a point in the discussion. It never came up. I'm not looking at any one person at any one time. I've been here for the last 35 years. I'm not looking at any one person at any one time. In fact, I probably don't even know most of the names or anything of who's sitting here. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about what I've seen of the social quality of life that devotees have and how it's not working for them. And how if they... And what I see is not working is where they're not following the directions given by the acharyas. That's what we're talking about.
And if someone follows the direction,
it will take time, but it'll work.
It may
take a long time, but that's what the human life on this planet means. It means heavenly planets, you have a kid, and generally within, depending upon the species, the same day or within a few weeks, they grow up to full 16 years of age. You get a little time to spend with that, you know, cutie cuddly kind of thing. But since that's not the main focus, then they grow up really fast and they come out, because of their piety, they come out, they do it perfectly. A demigod does perfectly their job. A rakshasa is perfectly a rakshasa. A yaksha is perfectly a yaksha. But the human life here, without training, you won't become one. You'll remain an animal. So the direction that's given by the Shastras is how to elevate yourself from the animal life to human. Because eating, sleeping, where do we have problems? It's with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's not generally with something else. You know, we're not arguing over if, you know, we use the Pancharatric or the Vedic Achman or something. And if we use the Vedic, then which Veda we'll use. We're not, it's over, what do we eat? How do we eat it? Do we sit down and say Sarira Vijajal? Do we have to go through all that? Do we eat with our fingers? Do we eat with our, you know, forks and spoons? What kind of things we eat? How we eat it? Where we buy it? You know, do we use karmi grains and not this, that? This is what we're eating. Sleeping, you know, how much time to sleep? I want to sleep in the morning. No, you want to be at Mangal Arctic, this and that. Mating, you know, okay, can you run around and find your own mate? Or, you know, are you supposed to, you know, is it supposed to be regulated in a way that you don't disturb the whole society? Because you want somebody to take you, you know, be intimate. You know what I'm saying? This person here, then they want to have someone they can call their own. Now, do they have the right to make everybody else in the community feel uncomfortable about their endeavors to get someone? You know what I'm saying? It's a personal thing. Like that. So that intimacy will be private. No one else will see it. Not even your own kids who are so close, right? So why is it everybody else should be able to see, you know, okay, you got all the mucus and pus and blood all in the right places. You know how to flaunt it. You know how to bat your eyes. You know how to do this and that. You know how to look cool and tough. Do we have to look at that? Do they have a right that we have to look at it just because they want a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Is that their right? In the Vedic system, it's not. Since conjugal rasa is an intimate thing, therefore, then it's also done in a very subtle and private way. Since the expression of it's private, then the arrangement is also private. But like friendship, that goes on, that's externally manifest, and it's, you know, very publicly arranged. So it's just laws of God, that's all. So we're saying is that you follow him, you get the result. Otherwise, they do. They catch the boy, they get pregnant, then the boy, you know, is a flake, and he goes away. And then they're sitting there alone with their kid. And I'm talking about this community. So is that the way God wanted it? No, but that's the way we follow. Because if you, oh, it works, I was like that, I became a devotee. Yeah, but we suffered. That's why we became a devotee. You know, so if we know better, why do our kids have to suffer? Right? This is what we're meaning. So the idea is that if you follow these things, it takes time. Even you're training the kids, you're training yourself according to the standards, it takes a long time for it to become, you know, practical, realized, you know, ability. So we're not talking that it takes a long time. We're talking about the lack of either willingness to endeavor according to authority, or just we don't know. Just ignorance, and that everybody else is maybe doing it, so we just go along. And just the idea is to wake us up, whether we're in the neutral state or in the negative state. If we're in the positive state, then, you know, it's not a major point. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So end here. Chaito. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Chaitai Gaura Premanandi.